And I just keep on pressing. And I just keep on pressing. And I just keep on pressing. And I just keep on pressing forward.
Right. Welcome back to another episode of Pressing Forward Podcast, Season 3. We have Kalen Walker. What's up? How you doing?
Doing good. Thanks for having me, man.
So just kind of introduce yourself, who you are, where you go, the sport you play.
Yeah. So my name's Kalen, as he said. I'm from a small town in Iowa called Eddyville, Iowa. I went to Indian Hills and transferred up to Iowa, which that's where I'm at right now. So I run track, I run sprints. So if you're not familiar with like the track scene, like indoors, we run the 60 meters and outdoors, I'm running the 100 and maybe some 200s. So that's kind of what I do and where I'm from.
Okay. Okay. Small town, Iowa. Can you talk about what that was like growing up in Iowa?
Yeah. So I think my town, maybe we had like 1,000 people, like, our graduating class was like 60. So it was pretty small town. And like our school, so it was called Eddyville Blakesburg Fremont. So we weren't even just like our town. We had like 3 towns combined into our one school. And we still only had 60 people in our graduating class.
Wow.
I know. Yeah. Isn't that crazy?
That's wild.
Yeah. Well, it was really like, it's an experience. Like it's everybody knows everybody, you know what they say. And I really enjoyed it. It's definitely way different than at these big schools. Like right now I see new people every day. It's totally something I've never even experienced once I got here. So yeah, I think it really helped me with my personality and my character traits. I think I really enjoyed it. So.
Okay. And you're a small town guy, right? And you're now at a bigger school, at a bigger scene. Talk about how you even kind of got to those ranks. Like, how did you go from being a small town guy and you know, kind of getting your name out there? How'd you get those opportunities to play at the next level? Kind of talk about that. What was that like in high school?
Yeah, so it's been a journey and it hasn't been smooth or, you know, traditional. It's been just, you know, I've had doors open and I've kind of just taken advantage of it. And I think it first started, you know, in high school. I wasn't even really big into track until my, you know, sophomore, junior year, where I really started making some improvements. I started like seeing, you know, some light at the end of the tunnel, you know.
Right.
And so I was actually taking classes at Indian Hills Community College while I was in high school. It was like co-classes. What are you going to call it? You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
You take some college credits in high school. Yeah, so I started that in like my sophomore year of high school. So I was already going to go to Indian Hills after high school, even if I didn't run. So then they obviously gave me the opportunity to come run for them. And I mean, I just, you know, took the opportunity and got there. And I wasn't really the best guy there. I think I was like actually like the 12th or 13th fastest guy coming in. Mm-hmm. I think I came in with a 10.9, 22.5. In my
still decent. So,
a lot of work to do. Yeah, I think my 60 was at the time was like 7.11.
Oh wow,
7.11. Yeah, so yeah, I really wasn't the best prospect coming in, and I actually asked my coach like, because I wasn't really expected to do anything there. It was kind of one of those like local kid, come run for us, you know, participate on the team.
Yeah.
And I actually asked my coach, I was like, do you want me to like switch event groups? Like, we're so stacked in the sprints. Like, where can I make an impact on the team? And he just told me, like, just stick with it. You know, I believe in you. And so I did. And we got through the year. I worked my way up through the ranks and I got onto our 4x1. And that was a really big thing for me because I knew like how far I'd come at the time. And we ended up getting All American in the 4x1. We got third at nationals, and then Coach Woody gave me a call, and the head coach, and Coach Ewing, who's the coach at Indian Hills, hooked me up with him, and he offered me a walk-on spot, and I took it, and I've been trying to make the most of it. So
most definitely. And you talk about a lot of things there. I feel like in just like one, you talked about confidence, You talk about having a coach that believed in you. How important would you say it is to really put in that work, right? Like, I know for a lot of younger athletes, that tends to be a hard thing. Like, when they come in and they're not getting that immediate attention or that immediate gratification, kind of talk about how important that was for you to kind of stick through the process and know that at the end of the, like you said, the light at the end of the tunnel. Can you talk more about that? What was that?
So I really believe that every athlete has a lot of potential, and I don't like, especially athletes like coming into a school like freshmen, sophomores, they have a lot more potential than they're showing.
Right.
And in order to see that, you have to do things that make you uncomfortable. And there's not a lot of athletes that are willing to do that. And they'll go through and they'll just kind of expect it to happen without doing all these hard things to get there. And
Right.
they don't see the improvement, they transfer out. They don't just stick to it,
Right.
or they'll quit. It's those people that, they'll do what's uncomfortable, they'll do the hard things, and they'll stick to it, stay consistent, stay disciplined. Those are the people who really, make improvements and, get to that next level.
Gotcha. Gotcha. And what was that moment for you when you kind of realized, like, okay, I got this? Like, I'm starting to feel it a little bit. What was that moment for you?
I felt that a lot of times in my career. Obviously, I went from, around like 7.1s and
Yeah.
10.9s, and those were big for me at the time.
Yeah.
Everybody starts somewhere. And for me, really, I find the joy in track and field, like just improving, seeing PRs, seeing the results. So every one of my PRs has felt like that moment, like, okay, I'm feeling it. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like every time I've done it. So it's just, I'm kind of like addicted to that feeling now. And dude, it's like nothing you'll ever feel in your whole life. It's so many emotions, especially in the sprints. Like it happens so quick, especially in the 60. 6 seconds
Yeah,
to
less
show
than
all the
quick.
work you've been putting in.
Quick.
And then right after that, you see the time, and dude, so many emotions all at once. And especially like for me, I've gone through like a lot of like injuries and stuff. It's been like a long process. And it all happens at once. All the emotions come at once, and it's almost overwhelming.
Yeah.
So it's just an amazing feeling.
Awesome. Awesome. And I mean, like you said, there's obviously a lot of work that goes into the results that people end up seeing, right? And those are the work that you do behind the scenes. And you talked about injuries as well. What are some of the things that you had to overcome? What are some of the biggest challenges, and how do you overcome those challenges?
Oh man. My injury journey has been it's been a good one. I've never had an injury before I got to Iowa, which is like what, 2 years ago now. And since I've got to Iowa, I've had two surgeries, I think four muscle tears.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's been tough. I've probably rehabbed for, like 9 or 10 months. And that's all like compact. I bet more than that, honestly. But it's been all compact in these 2 years, and I've been just trying to figure out how to navigate it, just how I can still improve while rehabbing, making sure my knee or my foot is still like healing. And it's really hard. I feel like I'm just hopscotching, through, or like just getting through these little like hoops and just trying not to bug anything. But it's been really hard. But I've had a good coach, and we have good trainers, we have good staff here. And I'm a big believer in, just you make a mistake, learn from it, don't let it happen again. So for me, my first year at Iowa, my first surgery, I had a stress fracture. I had pushed myself too far. And I didn't mean to. Like at the time I got there, and I had the mindset where I'm getting better every day, every day, every day.
Right, right.
And I'm pushing myself
Overtraining.
so hard.
Right,
Yeah. And I
right.
just overdid it. I just didn't know at the time. I've never had an injury at that point. So now I'm out. I had surgery like a week after I found out, and I was out for like 9 months. And I'm trying to come back. I'm in the weight room doing what I can, and then I come back. My first meet back, I have I go up the bank wrong at Arkansas, and I mess up my knee for the whole season.
Man.
But it's not bad enough where like I can't run through. I was running through it the
Yeah.
whole season.
Yeah.
That's why a lot of people think I made a lot of improvement this year, but I think I just got kind of held back because of the injuries. I think
Yeah.
I was capable of a lot better stuff last year.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was going through that all last year. I got surgery after the season. And yeah, it's tough, man. It's really tough. And just sticking to it. Like mentally, it's really tough for athletes to go through injuries. And that's why a lot of athletes quit.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to get over that hurdle. And I take a lot of pride in the fact that I've gotten through those injuries. And I feel like at this point, I can handle injuries and come back. Right. And it gives me a lot more confidence in myself in that aspect of it.
Right, right. And I mean, just even listening, you obviously went through a great deal of adversity throughout your career when you talk about injury. And a lot of times injuries can have a mental detriment on athletes in terms of just the confidence, just feeling like you can actually get back to that level. What were some of the things that you've done, like even through those injuries, and how have you, like, is there anything that you kind of would advise younger athletes that they can do maybe to keep that mental fortitude throughout when they're going through an injury, or just kind of bouncing back from those injuries?
Yeah, that's a good question. One thing I see a lot in athletes that are getting injured is they'll always try to get back to where they were, like before they got injured.
Mm-hmm.
But you have to understand, like, with significant injuries, you're never going to be that athlete before.
Right.
Like for me, I had surgery on my knee. I'm never going to be able to run like I was before.
Right.
I have to get stronger in the other aspects of it. And it's going to look a little different, but you can come back and be better. It's possible.
Mm-hmm.
You can be better. You don't have to run like you were before. You don't have to compete like you were before.
Right.
It can look different and you can still be successful. And that's the things I would really like say to the younger athletes is like, do what you can. Say you get in a car crash and you like lose like your calf, or like you lose like half your leg. And you know, like even like Hunter Woodhull, he got a prosthetic.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I don't know. I don't know if that's exactly what happened. I don't know what happened to him, but that's just an example. Like he just makes it work. You know what I'm saying? He's still super successful, even though it doesn't look like the normal athlete. And that's kind of what I would advise to younger athletes. Just like find a way to get it done, even if it doesn't look like it was before.
Right. So pretty much just finding other ways to kind of adjust like you're in a new, you're in a new, I guess you're in a sense, you're a new athlete, so to speak, because you're not
exactly
at the same level, you know? So.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially with like, my knee's a good example. I don't know if the Hunter Woodhull is a good example. That probably makes no sense to anybody.
No,
but
don't worry about it.
I think but like with my knee especially, yeah. Like my knee still hurts every day. Like I have problems with my knees. Like I'm probably going to have problems with my knees for the rest of my life.
Yeah.
But I still got to find a way to get better.
To push
and
through.
It's possible. Yeah, it's possible.
So even on that note, like even just beyond just the mental aspect of who are some like key people in your life, who are some key people, some key resources that you have leveraged, I guess just keep you grounded.
Yeah. One guy that really made a big impact in my life was my coach at Indian Hills, Brent Ewing. And he's just an amazing guy. I stand by this, you know, for the rest of my career. I think he's one of the best coaches in the country, regardless of division, regardless of the sport. He lives in Ankeny, and Indian Hills is in Ottumwa, and that's, you know, about 2 hours away.
Mm-hmm.
He makes the commute every single day. And he'll be there from the morning all the way to the evening. He does all the event groups, women, and he never ever complains about it. He never ever, you know, has anything negative to say. It's always positive. It's always lifting you up, and he's successful.
Mm-hmm.
And if you keep up with Indian Hills at all, or I mean even just track and field in general, you know Indian Hills is a powerhouse, and mm-hmm. it's because of him. They're a brand new program, and he always brings in amazing guys, and they always develop. They always go to, you know, D1 powerhouses right after they go to Indian Hills because they just develop them. Right. And yeah, that's one guy. I mean, he just brings a positive attitude every day, even though it's hard for him, but you would never know unless you ask.
Mm-hmm. So it's fair to say that you've been blessed with somebody who has been able to model, I guess, just a great mindset, and that's rubbed off on you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's the biggest thing for athletes is just putting yourself in an environment where you're around great people and just quality people.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And when you setting goals at the, I guess at the start of semester, maybe, I don't know what your process for setting goals are like, but kind of what does that look like for you? Like how are you setting these goals? How are you setting these benchmarks for your performance?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Setting goals is a big thing for me. So normally I'll set some like time goals or like, you know, whatever. But now these days I kind of set more goals of like, I want to win this, or I want to, you know, place this high at this meet. But instead of, you know, doing the times, like, cause the times, like so many things can happen. There's so many variables.
Right.
Say like, I'm going to this meet last weekend, Texas Tech. That's the meet I circled on my calendar. Like, yeah. I'm going to run fast at this meet. Yeah. Every other meet, I'm just either preparing or trying to place high.
Mm-hmm.
What if I, you know, tweaked my hamstring going into the meet?
Right.
Then I'm not going to make the goal. And it's not my fault. I put in the work to do it.
Yeah. But
it's not going to happen just because, I mean, there's no way you can prevent that. Hamstring mm-hmm. things happen. Injuries happen. Even if it's not significant, in track and field, it's detrimental. Those little tiny things, it can take you completely out of the race. So I really got away from the setting the time goals and more just focused on, okay, I just want to PR at some point this year. I just want to PR this race. I want to do this differently. I want to win this race. I want to, you know, set this milestone. And I think that's really, for me, has been a game changer for me. Just taking a lot of that weight off my shoulders.
Right. So you're more so focused on the process in and of itself.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that's a lot of problems with like, with athletes in track. They want to set those time goals.
Right.
And then they won't hit the goals for whatever reason, even though they're good enough to do it.
Yeah.
It just didn't line up.
Right.
And you have to line up to get those top tier goals.
Right.
And I think that there's good things to come out of setting those time goals, but I think it can also be a bad thing. And
yeah.
Like, hurt people's confidence, hurt people's egos.
When you don't reach it.
Yeah. And you don't have to put that weight on your shoulders. You don't have to. And I think that's definitely been a thing for me, to keep my confidence and like my mental locked in, as well as still staying on that like path for progression.
Absolutely. That's honestly a great way to look at it, because I mean, like you said, when you set those arbitrary goals in terms of like the hitting a certain time, when you don't hit it, it's like that could be a discouragement. Yeah. You know, so
mm-hmm.
And in terms of time management, like how you balance in school, you're on track, you're balancing it, kind of how do you balance all of it? How do you prioritize your own self-care as well?
Yeah. So for me, like right now, actually in school, I only have two classes and they're both online. So my time management is pretty easy right now.
Yeah.
But, you know, normally I have a planner, or like I have a schedule that I kind of, you know, I know what I need to do here and there, but also I prioritize like my sleep and my, you know, like time for meals. Like I don't schedule any classes before 10 o'clock because I know, like for me personally, I have an issue like falling asleep. Like I don't know if it's an issue. Maybe I just still figuring it out, but like, I just have trouble falling asleep. So some days I'm up till 2 a.m. just laying in bed.
Yeah.
And then if I have to get up for class at 8 o'clock the next day, now I'm, you know, sleep deprived going into practice. I'm not going to get a good day in.
Right.
So for me, I want to give me enough room so I can get a good quality sleep. And then at the same time, I need to leave room for me to get good meals in as well. And so that's kind of like what I'm thinking about. That's really my priority before thinking about like my schedule. I really want to prioritize my eat and sleep. And I think right now, like with only having two online classes, it's really easy.
Yeah.
But I'm also trying to like get into like YouTube and like social media content creation and stuff.
That's what's
up. So yeah, learning that and, you know, creating videos. I'm sure you're familiar with it. It takes time.
It does.
It takes a long
time.
It
definitely does take time.
No, but definitely. And I've been learning that the hard way. So yeah, time management is definitely a big thing for me right now.
Yeah, that's awesome too. Cause I mean, the fact that you said that, because I feel like even now a lot more athletes have the opportunity to like, you know, build a brand for themselves and kind of just offer people a way to kind of get to know them more on a personal level. So
For sure.
I definitely encourage that, man. Like,
yeah,
definitely shoot for it. And in terms of like leadership and like teamwork, because, you know, obviously when you're on that track, you're by yourself, but during practice, you're practicing with teammates and things like that. So what role does like leadership play in your role as a student athlete, and kind of how do you kind of lead, maybe by example, you know?
Yeah. So for us, it's like we have our sprint group, we have our coaches, but it's really just our group kind of like runs what we do.
Okay.
And the, you know, like the older classmen or the upperclassmen, they, you know, obviously going to run the show because they've been around. But, you know, it's more of just an, like an example thing. Like, we don't have like a lot of meetings. We don't have a lot of like, you know, sit down and talks. We just kind of like the upperclassmen just show you how it's done. And then the underclassmen just kind of follow along. And I think it's important for the upperclassmen to just, you know, be good role models, do what you're supposed to do, and just understand that the younger athletes are looking at you. And that goes the same thing with social media. Like with me building my brand, when I get up to like, when I get more followers, more people are going to be looking at me and looking up to me. And I'm not trying to sound like cocky, like everybody looks up to me or anything, but like, I need to be doing what I need to do. I can't be, you know, going out and, you know, getting in trouble or, you know, putting myself in a negative situations because, you know, I want to shed positive light on, you know, what I do and how to do all the things that I'm doing.
So what I'm hearing you say, it's there's a lot of positives in being able to do that, right? And being able to be in a position where people are looking up to you, right? But there's also a responsibility that comes with that.
Absolutely. There's a lot of responsibility. You know, they're going to be acting the same way you are in a couple of years.
Yeah. Yeah. Most definitely. Most definitely. Mm-hmm. And even when you think ahead in terms of a couple of years, like what are some aspiration or interests that you have outside of the sport, and how do you plan to explore them?
Right. I don't know. Like for me, I want to kind of like stay in like the track and field, like in sports. Like I'm a sports and rec major right now.
Right.
And I kind of want to get into coaching after I'm done. It's just something that interests me. I want to make an impact on some kids or whatever. It sounds fun to me. So that's really what I want to get into after track, but I'm hoping I can, you know, keep running for a little bit. So hopefully that doesn't happen too quick.
Okay. Okay. I mean, yeah, that's the plan. Obviously you want to do this thing for as long as you can, for sure.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah.
And even in your identity right now, it's like an athlete. Do you see that? How do you see that kind of evolving, I guess, as you grow too, as like an athlete in and of itself? And you talked about just taking on different roles, maybe as like a leader, or kind of how do you see your identity evolving throughout the years?
Yeah, it's been interesting. Like I'm a completely different person than I was a couple years ago. Like I was saying earlier with like how I got my stress fracture, I was pushing myself too hard, too hard, too hard.
Mm-hmm.
And now, I mean, I'm learning from my mistakes. I'm learning from all my successes. I'm learning from all my losses. And it's turning me into a smarter athlete and a smarter person in general. I'm learning how my body works. I'm learning, you know, how to improve as an athlete. I'm learning what works, what doesn't work. And at the same time, I'm also like, I've gained a lot of respect for like the other competitors, other athletes, even in other sports. Like, I know how hard it is to get to this level. I know how hard it is to come back from an injury. So for me to see you do that and be successful, I'm happy for you. Even if you beat me, like, obviously I'm not happy I lost, but I'm happy that, you know, you're seeing success. I know how it feels. So I've grown a lot in that aspect as well. But really just learning how things work and, you know, learning how my body works, learning how to improve. I feel like I can go into any, you know, endeavor after the track, and I feel like I can be successful because I understand how to improve and different things in my life. So,
yeah, that's a great point. I think that's another thing that I think a lot of athletes don't really pay attention to is the fact that you have so many transferable skills that you can take from your sport and then use them in a real life context, like time management.
Exactly.
Overcoming adversity, those are some of the things that you just talked about. And I see that a lot of athletes don't really pay attention to that because they're at the end of their career, they're kind of lost and don't really know how they can leverage some of the things that they learned throughout their career. So that's a great point. And then nutrition, that was one thing you just talked about. I feel like that was a big thing for me. Like coming from high school, coming to college, I'm like, okay, this definitely something different here that these guys are doing. So talk about how important nutrition is and performance and overall just well-being.
Right. So for me, my nutrition journey has been, it's been interesting. It's changed a little bit over the years. It's been more of the, you know, lately it's been like a find a way, like I was saying earlier, just find what works for me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's like the traditional way. Like for me, I don't really look at the quality of the food as much as, you know, making sure I get enough protein, enough mm-hmm. calories, enough carbs, and enough sugars as well. I think what a lot of athletes, it's a big misunderstanding on athletes is like the importance of sugar. Everybody's like, sugar is so bad for you. Sugar makes you fat. Sugar makes you unhealthy. Sugar gives you energy.
Right.
That's like your first source of energy is sugar.
Right.
And if you're going to work out every day, if you're not eating a gazillion calories, you're not going to get fat. And you're going to, you know, be in positions where you can get a more quality workout if you have sugar in your system.
Right.
So for me, that's really what I've, you know, like come up on this year is like, I kind of went on that kick of trying to do no sugar
mm-hmm.
and I felt awful. I showed up to practice and I was just drained before I even got there. I had no energy at all. And I didn't know what it was until I just kind of like tried to, you know, so what I do, like, I like to drink a pop before, like the night before I go high, like I have a hard workout like a meat. So that kind of, you know, gets a little sugar in my system. I get like pops with like real sugar. I don't know if it's actually real sugar, but it says it on the box. But it makes me feel like if I'm going to do it, I might as well.
Yeah. You might as well do it naturally. I got you.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what I kind of do. I still like to get quality foods, but it's not like my first priority.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm just focused on getting enough of everything.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? Absolutely. So that's really been my nutrition journey as I think it's a big misunderstanding of like, it's better to eat enough food than eat like a not enough quality food.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. So just having everything be balanced.
That's what it's been for me, but I know it's different for like different sports.
For everybody.
It's different
Absolutely.
So if my advice for people and their nutrition journey would just find what works for you,
right.
Know what you're trying to do and, you know, just figure it out
right.
for yourself.
And on top of that, and if you're not as knowledgeable, then that's why you have a whole support system, a whole staff that you can reach out to. Kind of
exactly. Yeah.
Well,
mm-hmm.
And this is a kind of a different question to the side, right? Like, all right, if you could choose between false starting or dropping a baton, which one is it?
Oh, dude, don't do that to me, man. I don't want to do either, really. Because I start on the 4x1, too, so I can do both, really.
Oh, man.
Man, I think I got to false start. I have to false start. Hopefully it's in an open event.
Yeah.
If I drop the baton and it's like I'm the first leg, obviously.
Yeah.
I've always been the first leg.
All right,
so cool. I drop it. Everybody's on the track waiting to run.
Yeah. It's just,
they probably don't even know it's happening yet. And they're probably still waiting for it to run. And it just doesn't come. That would feel terrible, dude.
Yeah.
I couldn't do it. It's got a false start, man. Take them for the team.
Most people who I asked, they actually said false start. So that's solid. That's solid. But closing thoughts, man. Is there anything you'd like to share with other student athletes or just anybody who may be listening, just the words of encouragement?
Yeah. One big piece of advice I would give to younger athletes is just it's possible. If you find a way, if you want it bad enough, you can make it happen. Whatever it is, track or football or, you know, in business or you want to, you know, do anything in your life, it's possible if you want it to happen. So just find a way, figure it out, and get it done.
I love that. I love that. And where can listeners connect with you, learn more about your journey?
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram. I have my YouTube channel I'm trying to start now. My Instagram handle is Kalen_Walker_13. My YouTube's Kalen Walker 13. no, you know, spaces, dashes, or anything. That's my biggest channels I'm posting on. My TikTok is Kalen Walker 13. I've been trying to get away from that a little bit lately. Yeah. So I can, you know, but you can follow me there. I'm posting, hopefully, you know, weekly, daily, you know, the whole shebang. You know how it is.
Yeah, solid, so, solid.
Yeah.
All right. Shoot him a follow, subscribe to him. Playing Kalen, has been a pleasure to have you on. You know, I've learned a lot just about your journey. And I hope that our listeners were able to kind of learn from your experience and kind of learn from your journey as well, too. So it's a pleasure to have you, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, man.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. Just want to thank all the listeners. If it's your first time listening to the podcast, be sure to, you know, subscribe, like, and share this with somebody, as you never know how this may help somebody else. As always, stay blessed.